poor Jesus. Here, our loving God sent his only begotten Son into this world, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Jesus perfectly revealed God's truth and love through his words as well as through his deeds. He performed all of those miracles to show the love and power of God. Jesus showed compassion to all, not just Jew, but to Gentile, not just to the righteous, but to sinners. Now he's crucified. It seems like it's all out of control. Where is God? Consider those who thought they had control, that they usurped the power of God himself. Consider Pilate. Here Pilate was appointed the Roman governor of Judea. He was called to keep peace. He was called to uphold law and order. He was to ensure justice. However, instead of doing so, he simply washed his hands and condemned an innocent man. And then there were the Jewish leaders. Here they were to be the upright citizens of the Jewish people. They were only concerned about their own position, their own authority, and preserving that temple with all of its cultic practices. And so they plotted to destroy Jesus. Caiaphas himself said, "Better for one innocent man to die than to risk the whole nation." Didn't they understand what the prophets had foretold? Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies, and yet they took control to destroy Christ. And then there's the crowd. Oh, the wonderful crowds. Crowds are just so easy to blend into. There were the crowds when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. The crowds when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. The crowds that said, "Hosanna in the highest," as he entered Jerusalem. And the crowds that then turned and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Always easy to be part of the crowd, to do what everyone else does, to blend in and just become a big statistic. And then, sadly, there was Judas. Poor Judas, an apostle. Wonder what went wrong with him. Maybe he just didn't understand our Lord's gospel of love and truth. In the Last Supper, recall when our Lord announces he'll be betrayed, 11 of the apostles say, "Surely it is not I, Lord." But Judas says, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." Big difference in perception. And now he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I guess he thought he accomplished his mission to assert his own power. But consider this, God indeed is in control. When we look at Jesus in the gospel, Jesus predicts to his apostles long before this that he is going to go to Jerusalem. He will be arrested, handed over, condemned, crucified, but rise again. There is a plan. And Jesus even said to Caiaphas before the Sanhedrin, "So you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming from heaven." Jesus says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me whatsoever unless it were given to you from above." God is in control. Because if we really read the four passion accounts closely, every sin is exposed for what it is. Every sin, pride, anger, greed, envy, gluttony, sloth, lust, and all the sins that derive therefrom. Sin is exposed for what it is. Yet, from that cross, our Lord shows the victory over sin. He looks out and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He forgives. Jesus says, "I thirst." He's thirsting for our love. Jesus also says, "My God, why have you abandoned me? Understand, this is the opening verse of Psalm 22, indicating our Lord's praying the whole psalm, which concludes in verse 20. You, O Lord, are not far from me. My help, hasten to aid me. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord and the justice he has shown. In the end, Jesus simply says, it is finished. Or in Latin, it is consummated. Consider this. Sin had estranged us from Almighty God. It would take that loving action of God to heal, to bring the reconciliation, to wed mankind back to God. And yet it would take an act of man. So Jesus, true God, became true man. And when he says, it's consummated, it's finished, the reconciliation has taken place. What happens in the temple? The veil that covers the Holy of Holies, 30 feet high, 4 inches thick, is ripped from top to bottom. It's like the hand of the Heavenly Father rips it in two and says, don't look here at this temple for your God. Don't come here to offer your Yom Kippur sacrifice of atonement. Don't come here to this physical place. Look at the cross. Look at the cross where Jesus is, my Son. For there you see the priest, the Lamb of sacrifice who frees us from the slavery of sin. There you see the real temple. And from our Lord's heart flowed blood and water, symbolizing the life-giving sacraments of baptism and Holy Eucharist. The plaque, then, that was placed above our Lord that read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, written in Rome, in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, is now twisted around because he's not an earthly king. He is the King of the universe for all people, Jew and Gentile. And so, our Lord changes everything. God is in control. And this will be sealed by the resurrection. Sin will be conquered, and death will be conquered. Suffering that seems so meaningless at times will be declared redemptive. A new life comes through the cross and resurrection of our Lord. There were those who knew God was in control. Our Blessed Mother Mary stands at the foot of the cross. So faithfully steadfast. There she is. She stands there with her heart breaking, but she has the hope of the resurrection. She knows God is in control, and she, therefore, does not lose control. There's St. John, that innocent apostle. Yes, he sort of lost control. He fled in the Garden of Gethsemane, but now he's back with our Blessed Mother. He's regained that control in his life. There's Mary Magdalene, the sinner who had 7 demons that were cast out, who found forgiveness by our Lord. She's there because she knows God is in control. And then, because of this, if we put it all together, the good thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, St. Dismas. And the Roman centurion who pierced the heart of our Lord will say, as the blood hit his eyes, truly, you are the Son of God. That's St. Longinus. So God is triumphant. If we carry it further, we know that those apostles who fled, and even Peter who denied, they'll see the risen Lord, and they'll carry on that mission of our Lord. They'll found the church that we have today, a visible sign of the kingdom that he established. A kingdom that can't be destroyed by heresy, schism, war, persecution, plague, whatever it may be. The church will continue on because Christ is with his church. But what about those who thought they had control and usurped the power of God? Pontius Pilate will soon be recalled by Emperor Caligula when a riot breaks out in Jerusalem. And with that, Caligula orders Pilate to commit suicide. Caiaphas will be deposed by Emperor Tiberius, because Caiaphas was just a political appointee, and he will be exiled somewhere into oblivion. Of course, the crowd, we don't know what happens to crowds, they just come and go. Usually they miss out on what is really important in life, and then they wonder, as they are on their dying breaths, what happened? And then there's Judas who hung himself rather than seek forgiveness. That's what happens when we think, I've got control. I'll do my will. Who needs God? So my brothers and sisters, this passion account, especially in our given circumstances in which we live right now, gives us pause to remember that even though our life at times might seem out of control, like we've lost control, God is in control. Therefore, you're called to make this Holy Week a very holy week. Granted, it's different from any holy week. It's different for Father Shear and myself and any priest, because look at the circumstances in which we're living right now. But still, there's abundant graces, maybe graces that we've never recognized before. So take the time this Holy Week to watch these live-streamed services. The church is going to be open every day at 8 a.m. through the evening at 8 p.m. Now, of course, on Holy Thursday, we'll extend that to midnight, because we will have special adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. But avail yourself to that. But I would give you a little outline for how to celebrate Holy Week. So today is Sunday. We've just read St. Matthew's Passion. I'd say reread it again as a family if you can. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, read the other Passions, Mark, Luke, John. They're alike in many ways, but they're also a little bit different. Pause and consider what's going on and insert yourself into the various characters, because they reveal who we are. On Holy Thursday, focus on the Holy Eucharist, that great gift of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. We're suffering right now because I can't offer Holy Communion to you all, but here I am offering Mass. It's a great pain, and you all can't receive. That's a great pain. But nevertheless, there's a spiritual communion that we can make. Sometimes that absence, that lack of the physical reception of the Eucharist, makes our heart grow fonder, grow more in love for the Lord. Then Friday, Good Friday, we need to remember the Passion of our Lord. And remember, too, he exposed sin, but conquered sin, suffering, and death. This is important in our time, because people will ask, why is this happening? I think there is a reason, and I think it's because in many ways in our society, we've tried to take control away from God. We've forgotten him. Like in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, for all that they'd been given, the covenant made with Abraham, the freeing of from slavery through Moses, and the whole settling in the Promised Land, the great kingdom of David, and so on, they forgot God. They forgot the covenant. They broke the commandments. They worshiped false gods, even sacrificing their children at times to those gods. The prophets were sent to say, repent. Repent. Turn your hearts back to the Lord. But they didn't. And destruction came. And they became fallen. Sometimes I wonder, is our God, because of love, trying to turn our hearts around? We have heard, for instance, about how New York is so afflicted because of this disease, the coronavirus. And we've heard of how many people have died. Do we hear that New York's also the leading state in abortion? 300 unborn children die each day. And a year ago, they all celebrated in their legislature this abortion law that said any unborn child, to the moment of birth, could be killed. Are we paying for that some way? in God saying, enough, turn back to me? And are we thinking then of how many people oftentimes forget our Lord on Sunday? 1/3 of Catholics attend Mass regularly. Less Protestants attend their services. In Western Europe, maybe 10% attend Mass on Sunday. Maybe our Lord's saying, you've forgotten me, turn back. And this is what God said through the prophet Ezekiel after Israel was ruined by the Babylonians. I will give them a new heart and put a new heart, a new spirit within them. I will remove the stony heart from their bodies and replace it with a natural heart, so that they will live according to my statutes and observe and carry out my ordinances, that they shall be my people and I will be their God. And so, my brothers and sisters, Good Friday is a time for us to recognize the sin and do penance to atone for those sins. Make Friday, Good Friday, a real day of sacrifice, and pray to the Lord through those prayers and sacrifices that these hearts may be turned back to living, loving hearts for Him. And then on Holy Saturday, we have no real service until the evening Easter vigil, but there is the traditional blessing of food, which we'll still have. Take time to give thanks for all that you have, the acts of gratitude. Granted, this is disappointing for many people in that graduations have been canceled, so many different events have been canceled or postponed, but be grateful for what you have. You have your faith. You have your health, I hope. You have your family. You have a home. You have food in the stores, even at times maybe limited. We have food. We have our utilities. We have so many blessings we take for granted. In the long scheme of life, gratitude helps us focus on what is really important. And then there's Easter. Easter, when we can rejoice that the risen Lord has truly conquered suffering, sin, and death, that the risen Lord is with us, will never abandon us. And with that, we can say, as St. Paul said, the Lord is the strength of my life, and in Him I have strength for everything. May God bless you.